So if you grab your outlines, let's look at it together. I was blessed by it this week. I just was thinking a lot about it this week, and I really hope to encourage you to, well, I'll just share, but I pray it would be a blessing, help to you. It's not very often, okay, that I get these prescribed readings, because we usually follow the prescribed readings. These things have been set for years and years, hundreds of years, but this one happened to coincide with what's happening in the world. You're following the fact that the Olympics are coming up. Pyeongchang, that's going to be Friday that you begin. So I don't know if you've been watching the stuff on TV, but I've been watching some of the trials and some of the things that have been going on. It's pretty fascinating, actually. So Paul wrote to the Corinthians in this text, the one we're looking at, he's talking about the Olympic Games. He didn't say Olympic Games because they all knew. As a matter of fact, the Olympic Games had taken place very close to Corinth, very close to Corinth, for over 1,000 years. They started in 776 BC, and they continued all the way up until nonstop 393 AD. That's 1,169 years. Everybody knew about the games. Corinth is in a place, and you look this up later, there's a Panopolis peninsula. You can't sail around that thing. It's very, very dangerous to sail around it. And they had the games actually out in Olympia, which was on the peninsula there, and so Corinth was the main port. Everybody went through Corinth. Corinth was the main way to arrive if you're coming from the east. If you're coming from the east, or if you're coming from the west, doesn't matter which direction you're coming from. Coming from the north, you would go through this little isthmus there, and you'd go right through Corinth. So they knew what he was talking about. Paul did something that Jesus always did. Jesus always picked things that were very relevant to people's lives, and he talked about them. Made them very relevant so that you would apply them to your Christian faith. I really hope that you do more of this. Maybe you do it already. But Paul was an amazing person, and Jesus was too. Everything that they saw in life, they compared to the Christian faith. They looked at everything. They looked at sports. They looked at the world. They looked at, you name it, this, how can I apply this to living my life as a Christian? So, you know, whether it's boxing, and boxing was really popular for them. That was a big, important sport. Everybody loved boxing in the Olympics. I happened to got a little sidetracked. I was looking up different things. You can look this up later, but their boxing was really intense. They were allowed to bite and eye poke, and they outlawed that eventually, but people still did it, and they just had like leather gloves around. Have you guys ever seen MMA, mixed martial arts? My youngest son played mixed martial arts when we were in Hawaii with a friend of his. And they would spar and practice and stuff. And I'm telling you, it's intense. So this is what they had in mind. And the running, see, we don't understand the running. It's different for them. They had a race called the hoplite. And the hoplite was one where they put on armor. They had spears and swords and full shield. And they would run with their full armor on across the stadium. And they didn't run one at a time. They ran in a big group. They ran like 20, 30 people at a time. And they didn't get the prizes all at one, at you know, right after the race. They all waited. The people that won went back up into the stands. And then they had the ceremony later when they all together corporately celebrated and had these prizes. So, okay, Paul's talking to them. He's saying, look, Corinthians, you're going to see the games on one level. And you're going to relate to them on those levels. On that level, you're going to see him run. You're going to see him box. Now he's saying, I really want you to see it on a different level. I want you to apply it spiritually to your life. That's what I would like you to do this morning. I would like you to do this with things that you read in Scripture. Make application to your daily life. How does this apply to your spiritual life? I would like to have you hear God talking to you when you're watching the Olympic Games on TV. You're watching the Super Bowl or something. I would like to have you hear God speaking to you and make an application to you in your faith. You know, you're watching what's happening in Pyeongchang, that you would see, you know, that just in a different way with them on that having the gold medal, smiling, you know, that you would just see us in the victory of Jesus Christ. So two things just let me share with you. One, to begin with, just that we understand this idea of games very clearly. And this is an important issue for us as Christians, because it's easy for us to think that we're competing for something. You're not competing for anything. This is not a competition. We might look at it, we might think, well, Paul's telling us that we need to earn our salvation. We need to be good enough. And if we're good enough, we're going to win. That is not what he's saying at all. That's not what he's getting to. That's not his point, and that's not what being taught in the New Testament, the New Testament readers, and New Testament writers, rather. You know, Christ has already won the victory for us. And really, what is grace here is the fact that you are in the race. That you have been taken, you have been put in the race. And an example of this would be Noah. Take Noah, for example. You have all the people in the world. You have all of these folks that are living in the world and they're not following God. God comes to Noah, and Noah finds grace in God's eyes, and God gives Noah a course to run. God comes to him and he says, "This is the course, Noah, I want you to run." Noah didn't ask for it. It wasn't Noah's plans. It wasn't Noah's ideas. But God gave him that course. Abraham was the same way. David was the same way. All the people that follow God are the same way. He comes to us and he gives us a course to run in our lives. That's the grace. It's God's grace that's put you in the race. He's given us the opportunity to run to him, to be blessed in him, and, you know, to be part of his company. And one of the best ways, let me put it this way. A good place, probably a good way for us to understand this, is the fact that the life that we live is not a game with no lasting consequences. The way that you and I live our lives has eternal consequences. Life is a proving ground. It is a proving ground for who we are, who we trust, what we cherish, eternal life, the upward calling, crown of righteousness, all the gifts that Jesus Christ has won on the cross. They hang on him. We trust in him. We love him. And make no mistake whatsoever, do not misunderstand that life is not a place for you to prove to God to how good you are, or to prove to anybody else how good you are. Life is a proving ground for whose strength you trust. Do you put your faith in yourself alone? Do you put your faith in human wisdom? Or do you put your faith, do you put your family, do you put your work, do you put what you need in the hands of God? That's what it's about, and that has eternal consequences. One of the best places that we can see this is when we are running into trials in the race. We all run the race. All of us do. And one of the places where we're going to have difficulties is temptation. All of us are going to be tempted. Temptation is going to hit you all the time. You never outgrow it. The Bible says that even Jesus Christ was tempted. And here's the good news in that. That if Christ was tempted and he never sinned, what that means is that it's not a sin to be tempted. What is a sin is to give in to that temptation. What is a sin is to allow that sin to grow, allow it to lead us, to guide us, to take us off the track into a way that is away from Jesus Christ. And that alone will disqualify you. But that is something that happens over a long course of time, a period of time, and that Jesus Christ will forever come alongside us and forever want to lead us and forever want to guide us and forever help us. People come to me, and I've actually had people ask me, they say, "Well, have I sinned too much? I don't think that God can forgive me." You know, they've actually been that bold. They said, "You know, I really don't think God can forgive me of that. Have I committed the unpardonable sin?" And if someone says that to me, I say, "I know that you haven't." And I say, "Well, how can you know that?" I said, "The fact that you care." I said, "If you had committed the unpardonable sin, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't even be concerned about it. It wouldn't even be on your mind. But the fact that you care, that you think that it's still on your mind, is the fact that you're in the race and God is still working in your life." You know, one of the ways that God wants us to see him is he wants us to see him as our Savior and our help and our strength. And I was reading in Martin Luther this week, and I was reading some of his thoughts, or I was reading what he said about Noah when he was talking about this verse. And you know, one thing struck me is that when we see God as our Savior and not our judge, a lot of people see the Lord, a lot of people see God as they're running this race of life, and they see Him as a judge on the sidelines. If you've ever seen Him, they're on the sidelines and they're looking. They're seeing, did they make the mark? Did they do what was right? Did they step out of line? And we have this idea that that's who God is. And we're worried about it, and we think that He's grading us. And you know, we have this thought in our mind, that thought will disqualify you. Because that is not Jesus Christ. It disqualified Martin Luther his whole life until he came to the understanding that God freely just absolutely forgave him, loved him, was with him. You know, when people in sports, they have a nightmare scenario when they get injured. When somebody in sports gets injured, Lindsey Vonn, you take these stars. I had a friend in college that got just sweetest in the world, all expenses paid scholarship to play basketball. He injured himself the first season. Done. Finished. His life ended. It stopped. That is never true with our God. We sin, we err, we stumble, we fall. God comes alongside us. He can bring healing to us. He can bring help to us. He can bring hope to us that this world can't, because He's our Savior and He's our loving, kind one that comes alongside us and leads us and helps us. Very different race. Very different race that we're in. You know, people think that in order to run the race well, you have to have willpower. You'll hear people talking about this. But you know, what does willpower mean? Willpower means two things. It means God's will to save you and God's power to actually do it. That's willpower. That's real willpower in our lives. And that's what God is showing us. That's what God is blessing us with. You know, I want to just share with you, because it's... you're in the race. God's grace has put you in the race. I want you to be encouraged in that. I want you to see the resource that you have, the blessing that you have for yourself, for your family. And I just want you to know how you can run this race, because Paul's talking about some things in that. So what will bless you? What will bless me? Because we're all in the same boat in this, on how we can run the race effectively for God. Well, I would invite you, I want to share four things with you, so I invite you to jot them down that will help you and will encourage you. You know, as you run the race, the first thing that you need to do is you need to just call out to God. You need to just pray. You need to just pray and ask for God's help. I mentioned Noah earlier. Do you know how long it took Noah to build the ark? 120 years. Can you imagine waiting 120 years for anything? That is a long time. And he just waited on God. God gave him a track that he was to run in. Now check this out. That track that God gave him to run in was his salvation. That water that washed everybody else away and was death to them was life to him. God is able to save you. God is able to keep you above the waters. And, you know, he asks us to trust in him, and it's a matter of talking with him and sharing with him. You know, you ever been at a prayer meeting? Sometimes we do this in prayer meetings where you go around like popcorn prayer. You guys know what that is? Where you go around and everybody takes turn praying. And you get nervous before it comes to you. It's like, you know, oh, what am I going to say? You know, am I going to sound bad? And then somebody prays, and you hear them pray, and you go, that was an awesome prayer. And you're thinking like the angels up in heaven with these scorecards. It's like 9-8, 10, 9-9, you know. And we think, you know, God's going to answer that prayer. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. You know, and we just have it so wrong. It's not like that. That God just wants you to talk to him. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you just to talk to him. And he wants you just to draw near to him. You need that. You have to have that encouragement. So I think number one for us in our daily life is to talk to God, have that communication. And that's why coming back to seeing spiritual things in everything that we see in life, that causes us to reflect and talk to God and visit with Him. Now, the second thing is to fill your mind with God's Word. That'll help you run the race. Fill your mind with God's Word. God's Word is going to guide you. It's going to tell you the way to go. We don't know the way to go. I tell you, I thought about that on the sailboat when Jill was saying she was going to talk about a sailboat. I don't know if everybody's been on one. I was on one once when I was really little. I think it was about 8 years old. And I went out on one with a friend and there was a squall. And I was terrified. I thought we were going to die. I'm thinking, I don't know how to do this. This is insane. And I mean, it's just like God can get us through. And the Word of God for us in the storms of life is what we need. You need that in your family. You need that. We need that in our church. We need it in our workplace. Let it speak to us. Let it encourage us. Let it guide us. Let it help us. That's what it's there for. You know, and I think as Lutherans, we're pretty good because we got the means of grace and we talk about the Word of God as how God communicates to us. Get this book, the Bible, every single day into your life. Get a modern translation. Get like the New Living Translation or one that really works and speaks to you. So the third one that I wanted to share. So the first one is be in communication with God. The second one is get the Word of God inside of you. It will create faith, sustain faith. The third one is support one another. Support one another. We have to in the race. I said that, you know, they ran 20 together. They ran in groups. We have to lift one another up. That's why I am so into, and I'll talk about it a lot, is being in a small group. Are you in a small group? Are you in a group? You can see it in your bulletin. We have a whole list of groups. We just started another one in our home just this last Tuesday. It was great. And it's good to be in that. It's such a blessing to be lifted up during the week, to have the opportunity to fellowship together, to be encouraged by one another. Oh man, it's just such a great thing to do. You can't run it on your own. You can't run it on your own. You're not a lone ranger. You need that support. You need someone around you to help you, to guide you. God intentionally says in the Bible that He puts the weaknesses in our lives so that we can realize that we need each other. And this is a key thing for us to explore and for us to understand. That God really wants to bless us in this way. It's a difficult thing. It's hard, but God works through that. And the last one I want to share with you is to hold on to God's promises. Hold on to God's promises. First, pray. Talk out to God. Secondly, fill your heart and mind with God's Word. Then thirdly, be in fellowship. Let other people bless you and support you in your life. And then lastly, hold on to God's promises. God has given many promises in the Word, thousands and thousands of them. Hold on to them. Keep them.